Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 136, episode 4 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeart Radio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Buck Sexton. It's Friday, June 5th, 2020. What's a Buck Sexton? My name, yeah, that sounds so much like a hardcore porn star. But he's actually a conservative talk radio person on iHeartRadio, it looks like.
Buck Sexton,
piece of shit. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Keep Your Energy Going. Don't let your blacktail energy die out, allies. We got a long way to go. I'm going to keep saying that every day. Because we're in the middle of a historical moment in this country. And I think I have always wondered, man, when am I going to have to do some shit? You know, when am I going to feel good? I can look back and be like, yo, back then I was doing the right thing. I think that's right now. Pretty sure that's right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's been right now for a while, but it's really, really right now. So, hey, punch your ticket to the right side of history, please. You know, trust me, I already can see like people fucking 40 years from now be like, you know, I marched for Black Lives in 2020. Yeah. And I'll be like, yes, great. I love it. I hope you still have that energy up now.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, one of our favorite guests here on the Daily Zeitgeist, Maggie May!
Yay! Hey, everybody!
Damn, look
there
at that
you
mic.
You are, hi.
That mic looks like it's from the future of the movie WALL-E.
Yeah, I got it at South by Southwest 1 year. It was in the gift pack. And I never thought, I never thought it would come in handy. And then the world closed. So,
right.
I feel like a lot of the riot police also look like they are a combination of RoboCop and the humans from WALL-E. That's been on my mind. Like, that dude who's pointing the like hand cannon thing at the 2-year-old on his dad's shoulders.
Oh my gosh.
Is straight up a human from WALL-E, like barely able to stand upright. But
that's why
that is neither here nor there.
That's why I love that Ice Cube tweet where it's just like, yo, if we're out there every day, they have to be out there every day. You know what I mean? And they look at them. I've also seen a lot of photos of the most uncomfortable police officers in their like full, you know, riot gear, just pouring out buckets of sweat because it's like all like black and plastic and like close to their skin. So they're like microwaving their bodies. But hey, great.
And bacon then in more ways than one. Bacon.
Whoa, look at Whoa. get your Black Fist Afro picks out. Jack O'Brien is in the building.
Hey,
I love to see
oink,
it.
Oink, am I right?
I love to see it. I love to see it.
Bringing the seventh grade anti-cop energy.
Although, have been some of the funniest videos of like people who just put the donut on the string with the stick and just walk by. And I'm like, I don't know why. It's still satisfying to see.
I saw this one chick trying to give flowers to a police officer. And the officer was a woman and she looked so pissed. Like she looked like she had just come home and her kids were cutting up or something. But I love to see it. It's now my cell phone. It's my cell phone background picture now.
All right, Maggie May, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. We're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we'll talk about. If we get to it, we will. I think we need to talk about crisis fatigue. What's actual police reform? Like that, a lot of ideas are being thrown around. But Miles, you put together a really good breakdown of, you know, what's being put out there that's insufficient and what we need to actually keep pushing for. And then you also put together a really good breakdown of like how to have these conversations and also like where the insecurity and the fear that you're seeing on right-wing Twitter that I think is really enlightening. And then if we have time to get to it, we'll talk about Mattis criticizing Trump because there we go. He's done now.
He's done, folks.
another authority figure has criticized
another one.
Him.
Yeah.
Bodies. So Mattis is apparently the new... the new Robert Mueller.
Just like what centrists use to act like they did something. It's like, I mean, but do you see what he said? I'm like, I don't give a fuck, bro.
Is it because they look like their dads? And so like the Johns at Crooked Media are like, well, this will do it because you can't say no to your dad.
No, they say that because they're white bourgeoisie. Like, you know, they're from a different world. They're operating a different reality. And like their proximity to like that level of power, like has, I think, eroded a bit of their connection to like what the real substantive change is without using a label of like, it's too radical, like that's radical, or like, you know, things have to be incremental. Cause I think that's what a lot of the things we're seeing. And that is again, I'm talking about how white supremacy will always do what it has to do to ensure its existence. So rather than when we're saying defund the police, cause we're all looking at that, their thing is like, well, let's ban chokeholds. No. Okay. There's so many great tweets about this, like where you think people say like, hey, like you don't see, you know, pilots. You can't have the bad apples theory apply to like airline pilots because people will crash and die and you can't say that. And like, no. The stakes are too high. You don't have that with surgeons. You don't have songs that are called Fuck the Fire Department. Like I've seen all kinds of very brilliant takes like this on Twitter to like really put it together to understand what the police are and what people's relationship to the police are.
We need to have a policy that if a co-pilot sees his pilot steering the plane directly into the earth, they need to intervene. They need to pull that plane.
That's what needs to happen.
Nosedive. That's that is going to be the solution, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, but you know, that's why we have to tackle these these problems at where they're at. It's like not just, oh, well, you know, well, Solomon Giorgio had a tweet that he was basically saying, yo, if I had a child daycare run by pedophiles and I said, but hey, don't worry, I got rules for them. No one's going to fucking trust their children at my daycare center, even if I have rules, because the premise is fucked.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing. The premise of policing is fucked. So handle that. Don't handle all these other manifestations of the fucked principle. Address the fucking issue.
The issue.
I'll start ranting again in about 5 minutes.
Maggie May, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Last thing on my search history was definition of an ally.
Okay.
I looked up ally, and that's should let you know about me, that if you come up to me and start telling me problematic stuff and I try to correct you or do anything and you tell me you're an ally, I'm going to look up the definition of ally and throw that into a conversation.
Right. Don't get argumentative. Well, that's not what we're here for.
Is that coming from a personal experience that you recently
I saw your Twitter.
Yeah, you did. That came from this morning. I posted something that, like, if all you want to talk about is the looting, then I don't have anything to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Someone jumped in and decided that she needed to tell me, as a white woman, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, we do needed to discuss the looting, but not now, this and that. And I was just like, didn't I say, like...
That's a distraction.
I'm really, she wrote a manifesto, and I was like, I'm not really about to read long think pieces from white people right now. That's just not where I am. Got up in arms. I'm an ally. Yeah.
My response would just be like, that's a lot of words to not say white supremacy is a problem.
That's it. Like, she did every white trick in the book. It was if maybe you should back down when you know that I'm trying. And I was just like, okay, I see you wrote your whole life story about how you didn't know that racism was a thing and you found out last week and now you're trying to do some stuff and everything like that. And now you want me to give you credit for all of your back work, even though you're currently in my face with some bullshit. Like, yeah, no, I'm not
creating more labor for you.
Thank you. Yeah. And then it turned into, well, if this is how people react, then people aren't going to come back to the table. And I was like,
"There you go.
Someone can't correct you of your problematic behavior, you are not an ally."
Boom.
Did my microphone pick that
up? Drop the bomb.
You are not an ally.
Yeah. You have to be able to hear that and not get defensive. That's the thing. And we're going to get to that. But that's the prevailing mindset that is not allowing a lot of people to see what is happening for what it is. Because like I said, the white supremacy will do everything it can to ensure that it stays obscure and it is tricking you. So rather than her basically cutting to the chase and saying, really, if what she's saying is, I don't believe white supremacy is an issue. That's what it is. And then you can, and then I'm like, okay, great. You've actually made your point. We can deconstruct that because here's the receipts. Your centuries of receipts.
Yeah.
And then let's go from there.
And I think that a lot of white people are, even if they claim not to think white supremacy is an issue, or, you know, are realizing white supremacy is an issue but don't want to talk about it in the way you want to talk about it, they have a lifetime of words and justifications built up inside their mind because they've been lying to themselves their entire lives.
Yeah.
About this, to ignore this. We've been lying to ourselves the entire time. I need to include myself in that. And as it's becoming more and more evident that, you know, that you like a thing that we can't miss, I feel like some people are responding with just putting all of those justifications out there, just like vomiting them all forth. And it's just not the way to go about it. And also
spaces. Right. I don't need the receipts of your emotional labor and throughout all this.
Right.
And I understand where you're coming from, because it's like, but I'm going to prove that I'm going to be better, cuz I'm proving I feel bad about this to you, and you can see the proof that I feel bad. Therefore, you know I am not bad because I do feel bad. And I want to let you, this is the proof. Will you examine my proof with me? Will you proofread my proof for me so I can show other people how to show and prove? Okay. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think, and this is why I tell everybody, it's really the actions, man. It's the actions that are going to be the biggest thing. And even if, I don't care if you didn't post a black square or whatever, because I'd rather know somebody is going to show up to a march or going to put pressure on their DA or their police commission or whatever on behalf of black people. That to me, that's way more than showing me text threads you've had. I don't care. And to me, Every black person who's had to go through other people's emotional receipts this week, it's a lot of emotional labor. And it shouldn't be on us. I trust you. If you're going to, here, this is the deal. I'll trust you that you say you're going to change. And then when you don't, I'm going to shed you from my life. That's how it's going to, you don't have to tell me now. Cause I don't care what you're seeing. I will determine whether or not I keep you around based on how you're acting. And then if not, I'll shed you. That's all it is. And I was saying this a few weeks ago, you will shed people in this process because the way we get through this is you have to say, guess what, everybody? I'm not racist. Sorry to everybody in here. I'm not racist. And if they fucking leave, that's fine because this is what people say. You didn't lose them. They lost you because you are actually a decent human being. For you to do that, that takes courage. I commend you for being around people where it might not be the most fashionable thing to stand up and say, I think equality is good. That's so wild to say right now, even out loud, to be like, that it's not a fashionable thing for you to stand up in a room and say, I believe equality is a thing and I think we can change it. Because, it's possible my generation may be able to do something really significant right now. It looks like there's something there. And trust me, when you shed those, you will not be alone. Those people are out of your lives. Don't worry. You will not be alone because there are people out here that care for each other. And you would rather be in that community than people who have hate, because those people end up alone a lot quicker. You will not be alone. There are people, go anywhere with your heart open. There will always be people that will accept you. So you don't need people like that. Shed them.
Maggie, what is something you think is underrated?
I'm taking Will's words over it.
Can we let that sermon settle for a minute?
I'm just like, I've been on one the whole week. You know, I've had a lot. It's a lot because I think a lot of black people too, I've become complacent with white supremacy around me. And I think that's the shitty thing for me to experience as a black person, as a blackanese person, as an Asian, whatever. I realize too that I have become complacent. And I think that's what disgusts me the most about my own. That's what energizes me now because I feel it feels bad. It feels bad to think that I was in it and I knew I was in it. And I just wasn't really able to do anything about it. But I'm feeding so much off of this energy of other people right now that my outlook is changing rapidly. And I'm just, that's why I'm glad to do this. And I hope we can just keep it up.
Yeah. You have the, like, when you are on the fight or flight, you become more eloquent. That's an amazing thing. And I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people are feeding off of you too. So just to say the obvious, but you know.
That's so important because for such a long time, we were gaslit into thinking that like saying something means that we're angry or that we're trying to impugn you know, everything. Like, but now people are coming together and being like, no, that actually is wrong. And pointing out that it is wrong is not any kind of a mark towards anyone. Like wrong is wrong. Like,
and then we feel so bad though, because we've been knowing this for so long. And now we have people being like, oh my God, I can't believe it's so bad. And it's almost mind-blowing, right, for black people? Because the shit has been in front of y'all the whole time.
100%.
You know? And then now people go, you know, I just feel so broken up about it. You know?
Oh my God.
In a way, it's fucks our heads up because it's like, you didn't know? I'd rather be like, it's a problem and I'm going to do something now. But you know what? That just shows you how wild this white supremacy shit is, that some people really are, and that's the people I know are waking up to, because they are really like, whoa, what the fuck? And that's great that you're realizing that. But then there's also a lot of frustration it's doubly painful, you know, because then as black people, we have to continue to be like, Fuck, bro. We've been saying this. We've been screaming this. But you know what? Fine. That's our burden though, too, to be able to have the wherewithal to be able to pick each other up and take up for our community and be able to be like, okay, fine. You didn't get it 100 years ago, you didn't get it 50 years ago, you didn't get it 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And we'll probably be saying, I hope to God we're saying something different 20 years from now. Yeah. But I think the reason why, especially a lot of young people, young Black people, feel very motivated right now too, is because I think we've had to look at the defeated looks on our parents' and grandparents' faces. And we feel like, holy shit, man, we have enough smarts right now to do something. And we actually know how this shit works a lot better than our parents did and our grandparents did. And we've been, luckily, off their backs, have been able to educate ourselves and arm ourselves with the proper tools and get into the right spaces to create allies to do something different now. So I feel that's what's there. And that's what I hope is there. That's why I think everybody has to hop on this fucking journey right now. Punch your ticket for the fucking right side right now.
Testify.
What is something you think is underrated, Maggie?
Underrated? Mm-hmm. Apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that people really understand the power of a simple apology. Like, an apology has stopped me in my tracks. An apology will turn, like...
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people are... They don't realize the importance of their own apology and the, like, I guess the scope. Like, don't apologize to me about something that you don't have anything to do with and that you have no power to change and that you're not going to change. Apologize to me for your actions. And that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't have even brought up anything about that fake ally had she just apologized the first time around. She wouldn't even be put on blast on a podcast at all. Like, it would have been over. Like, people, and that kind of feeds into a little something more that I wanted to say based on what Miles was saying. Like, you have to be okay with being wrong. Being wrong is not a problem. Being wrong, being human, erring, that's human. Apologizing removes a multitude of sins.
Yeah. And that's what wisdom is, you know? A wise person sits on a stack of discarded ideas and ideologies that they've deemed useless to them. And the ignorant cling to their singular one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should be able to look back and all that shit you did and go, yikes, what the fuck was I thinking? That's what a wise person sounds like. They go, that was fucking dumb. God damn. Glad I'm past that. I'm glad I'm on some more empathetic shit. I'm glad I see people differently. I'm glad I see the world differently. Then, and that's why you see the difference right now. There are people who are willing to shed those things, and there are people who are not willing to shed those ideologies and those thinking. And that's what these people right now who are like, I don't understand what the problem is. They're looting. Because you're not willing to give up this other thing where you can acknowledge white supremacy. You're clinging to that one, but you don't even realize you're clinging to that. Clinging to your ego's sense of righteousness to try and, you know, absolve yourself from them. That's not even what we're talking about right now, because you're completely looking at the game differently.
Drew Brees is talking about, like, observing white supremacists on Twitter. Drew Brees' apology, which, you know, too little too late. Like, this is one of those things, as Jordan Peele said, we needed you to get right the first time, but... The apology really seemed to infuriate a lot of his white followers. They were like, you have nothing to apologize for. What are you apologizing for? There's nothing to apologize for here. There's something very powerful about an apology that...
Because it's inverting the racial dynamic. It's white supremacy. Yeah. White people should not apologize to Black people. Mm-hmm. Done.
Yeah.
You can boil all these responses down to white supremacy. The idea that the reason they are upset is because a white man is apologizing to a Black person for their white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Because if he has to do it, then so do they.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what the wildest thing is. They showed a side by side of Laura Ingraham where she was like, LeBron James just needs to dribble the ball. And when he has a point about politics, and then Drew Brees yesterday or the day before saying,
oh, well, you know, he's a human too. You know, he's got feel. He's got opinions on stuff. So it's just right. like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
What is something, Maggie, you think is overrated?
Overrated is leaving the house. I've been living my best life. I'm quarantined to the teeth. I have an overactive immune system, so I'm immunosuppressed on those medicines. So I've been staying in like probably more than most. But I have everything I need. Like, who needs to leave the house? I went to an online emo dance party last night and it was tight. Mm. Everyone delivers everything to my house, and that's also tight. I also don't ever have to wear pants. I'm not wearing pants now, and y'all can't tell
Great.
Shit. I don't have to drive. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to gas up my car. I just get to sit down. If I get depressed, I'm already at home.
Like, I'm already sitting down.
Yeah. I'm already in bed, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm already in bed.
Yeah, this quarantine can last as long as it needs to last. I'm fine.
Yeah. Are you normally like a homebody?
For the most part, I leave a lot during the day to like run errands, and I'm doing comedy like pretty much every night.
Right.
So that part is a little bit.
You value that time at home because of how much you're out.
Yes. And I'm an introvert, so I like to be home and by myself, and you know, that's where I recharge. But
yeah,
you know, it's been tight. It's been hella tight.
Especially the no stress. When you have things left at your door now. I remember like a couple weeks ago, I'd order food from like this, was waiting for this one restaurant I always go to, like they weren't opening, and I was trying to be like, they had no gift cards or anything. I was like, what happened? They finally came back. I ordered something and I hadn't ordered anything in a while, and I forgot they leave it at the door. And I was like, where the fuck is that order at? And I was like, it was just 45 minutes in front of my door. And I was like, right. It just comes literally there now.
Yeah. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, lest we forget.
On top of all that, yeah.
And finally, Maggie, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That reality shows are bad. That they're bad entertainment.
Mm.
That's false. Yeah. Like, they're so necessary. I watch so many more reality shows now. I have a homegirl that we will watch. We'll get on Zoom and watch reality shows together. Because it's like, I have to be able to watch someone make a bad decision in their life while I'm at home ordering stuff and just letting it get left in front of my door.
What are you watching right now?
Oh, I'm watching.
What's sustaining you?
Married at First Sight.
Oh, yes.
I'm into 90 Day Fiancé. Hey. I'm into. I started up with Too Hot to Handle, but that show is not
it's
too
lame.
Hot.
It's
so lame. I'm like, none of y'all are that hot on this show.
It's too cold
anyway.
To watch. Yeah.
Like the whole premise of the show is dumb. It's like you can't not
Married at First Sight is it becomes like hit or miss sometimes. But when those seasons are hitting, I'm like, why did anyone ever agree to this? Like 90 Day Fiancé, I understand. That's why I like it. I get a little international flavor, travel, flair, so much culture clashing and other bullshit. But like when you watch Married at First Sight and like you're like, oh, my God, this dude is like gaslighting her like constantly. And like they're not even like no one's even actually describing that. Even like the experts when I'm like, this is not actually OK. All right, Married at First Sight.
They all need their licenses taken away from them. Someone needs to yank Dr. Pepper's license. They need to take Pastor Calvin's church away from him. It is such a bad idea. But like,
Australian one. Have you seen that one?
No.
So I just saw, they just started putting the Aussie version of it up. Even funnier because it could take me even less out of like, sometimes I don't like the American versions of shows, but Aussie Married at First Sight. I haven't been disappointed in the first episode.
I feel
like the Aussie version and the UK version of reality shows, it's like somebody who's like dabbling in drugs and then goes like hard to the hard street drugs.
Oh, right. We're like, just say hit me, man.
Give it to me.
It's like, wait, you're mixing the pills with what?
It's like those little anti-drug things we watched in the 90s where someone took one hit of weed and then like all of a sudden it's circling eyes, cocaine.
Yeah. Exactly. Next thing you know, you're watching Geordie Shore. Have you seen Jordy's show?
I love the statement that that reality TV is necessary. That is culturally necessary.
It should just be called Watch These Idiots TV. It's not reality because it's not. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who will watch it and be like, oh, cool, man, that place looks awesome. But I think really the thing that people, like we're all watching it for, is just that satisfaction to know there is someone out there making way worse decisions than you are.
100%.
And you can then elevate yourself pettily because we are so small as we watch. We go, and I will stand upon their shoulders to feel mighty.
Also, like, we might be in quarantine for, like, what, 1-2 years? Like, no one is getting engaged in this 1-2 years. And society, like, crams it down a woman's throat that you got to be married by, you know, 30, 40 or whatever.
Right.
Watching these shows, I do not have any desire to go out and get married. Like, it looks shitty. Like, it does not look fun. And, like, anyone who has marriage fever or is like, I got to do this, I got to make this happen, go sit your ass in front of a Married at First Sight and see what happens to them. Go Google what they're up to now and see whether or not you want to hitch your wagon to somebody just because, you know, you're 35.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, it's like, I just felt like, you know, so many dead end relationships. I was like, this is it, you know, and that's why I'm just like, I'm just embracing this like experiment. Like this, whenever you see those people start off that Married at First Sight thing, you're like, this is all bad. Cut to them crying like in a tropical resort. And they're like, he just said he's not attracted to me. Like, and it's like crazy. And you're like, I don't know what you, okay, all right. I'm going to just laugh because I need this right now.
I'm at home like, you so stupid, bitch. Yeah. And I'm eating.
Screaming cheetah. At the TV.
I'm eating Funyuns for dinner.
You're like spitting the crumbs onto the screen. Licking as you
I'm so much smarter than you.
Learn to see a red flag. Learn to see a red flag.
It's just Funyun, chunks of Funyun flying at your
laptop.
Screen.
You're like, my return key doesn't work anymore. There's Funyuns I got on the keyboard.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break. My 4-year-old just entered the studio. I have to go.
Baby has entered the game.
And then we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. Ramsey, my four-year-old, is going to stick around for a little bit, so there might be noise in the background, but that is still in quarantine.
But he does write my takes.
He does. For money, too. All right, Miles, let's talk about crisis fatigue. This was a really good really good point that you put together.
This is an article I saw on Wired because it was just saying like crisis fatigue is a thing and it's real. And I think every person knows that the last 3 months have already been difficult, being locked down, unable to see loved ones and travel and just sort of do what we normally do. And then things completely fucking boiled over with all of, you know, this like group outpouring of their opposition to police brutality and racism in this country. So, you know, I think for me personally, I feel like I've been in like a constant fight or flight. The second I wake up, like I wake up and I'm like, oh, I can sleep in. And I'm like, dude, my heart's like racing. Like I need to get up and run or something. Like I actually can't even just chill. And I'm realizing like, yes, I'm stressed, but this reading about crisis fatigue very specifically, I think is beneficial because I think we all have some version of like unease, unrest, stress, and it's really important to work on that. So in this article, they were talking about just basically, you know, we're built to have these like high stress situations for like a little bit, right? That's what our fight or flight's about. That's what keeps us nimble and alive as we were trying to survive. And now it's a little bit different now with the way our world is. That shit just turns into us boiling over with like super high cortisol levels, which then wreak havoc on our bodies. So the stress isn't just merely like, oh man, I'm uneasy or whatever. Like we have to really be careful. Like every person should really be careful because this high amount of stress you're feeling can do all kinds of things to your body, throw your hormones all out of whack, high blood pressure, bone loss, if you like, you know, if it turns into Cushing syndrome. So please take a second because your bodies can also feel the effects of everything that's going on, not just our minds. And they just really can't, we can't hold this up for so long. So I think it's really important. I just want to say, because a lot of people are really invigorated right now. And there's some people who are like, well, what's next? Where do we go today? Who do we yell at now? Like, that is great. But like I was saying a few episodes ago, put that shit, keep it on low, keep it hot, but don't put it on, don't flame the fuck out because my God, there, I'll let everybody else speak to how exhausted they are. We are all exhausted, but we also need to be really careful with ourselves.
I think we generally underrate, you know, mental health. Like Meg, you were saying that like you have immuno issues or issues with your immune system that are keeping you inside and like away from, but I think we need to be also, you know, like Miles said, aware of like what we're doing to our mental health, like what our mental diet is doing to us, you know, like how we're consuming the news. Like I don't think I've taken 5 minutes from looking at my phone the past, you know, 4 or 5 days, like the past week and a half. Like I just feel like it's nonstop and it's not good, but I also don't know. Like, I do feel like I need to stay up on it, but like, I also have not, I haven't had the thought in my head, like, what is this doing to me mentally? What is this doing to the people around me mentally?
Because eventually,
as much as I probably should.
Yeah, eventually your own self-preservation mechanisms will kick in and you will probably disengage for the sake of your health. Like, that's what the thing is. Like, and that's really important for any kind of advocacy is to be able to sustain it for as long as possible. It's not just advocacy isn't a reaction to something. It's you're dedicating yourself to changing something. So that's why it's not, don't hit a wall on the first lap. Like, it's a marathon.
Right.
And yeah, and it's just do like the smallest things. Cause man, I'm like forgetting to drink water. I'm forgetting to eat. I'm forgetting to fucking chill. I've had to put like literal reminders in your phone of like, hey, go pee for a second. Hey, go like drink a cup of water. Go have a sandwich. Do something. Have an egg. Whatever you need to do. Because I think that's also, those things start going by the wayside, as well as really like you're saying, Jack, like I know it feels good to be like, okay, man, like what happened now? Okay, now what's going on over here now? Who did the police kill today? Because that's constant already, as we've seen with plenty of innocent people already losing their lives by just being around and, you know, having the audacity to exercise their First Amendment, right? So limit your news. Like, if this show is the only thing you listen to get your fill, then do that. Don't then go on Twitter and get sucked into social media, because it will literally burn you the fuck out. So like, it's okay. Like, what I do is I have to put the at 5 o'clock. It's the last time I check the news. Like, by the East Coast, it's 8. They know what's up. I've pretty much figured out what's happening locally. Just don't check. Like, have a hard news cutoff time for yourself, and have it be hours before you eat dinner and go to bed. Like, let that be an untainted segment of your day. Because trust me, if you really care about this, you're going to be up just with everybody else being like, okay, what's going on? Like, I feel like something can be done.
And I feel like on top of that, a lot of it is feelings-based. Like, because, I mean, you saw a snuff film. Everyone has a visceral reaction to it. Everyone's already feeling a bunch of things. But it's like you can't run it off of your feelings, or else it's never going to be a sustained movement.
Yeah,
right.
You know, people are not going to stay, you know, the Ring wasn't as scary the second time you watched it. Like, it's not
right.
going to give you the same kind of thing. But then, like, everyone getting up in their feelings, too, is a problem, because, like, that's not how you run any, like, nothing ever changes by feeling. Things change by action.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I feel like people are getting the feelings and not doing anything, and so they feel crazy because they're like, I feel all this stuff and there's nothing that I can. And it's like, slow down and chill. Realize that your feelings are not going to push this forward, and realize that, you know, 2 years from now when you're still fighting this fight, you're not going to feel the same, but you still have the obligation of fighting.
Right. Or listen, why people will immediately say, I'm not going to vote for a candidate because this is their record on these issues. You know what I mean? Because at a certain level, when you beat these things, you really start trying to figure out how to solve these things too. You also have to look at who the people are that are in power and what their, you know, record of behavior is on these kinds of things, and how far they are willing to go to address the problems. Because I think the issue has been, I think that's what a lot of this too is a reaction to, all of this incremental change, when we all knew with Obamacare, it should have been Medicare for all. You know what I mean? Right. And it turned into a private insurance exchange. And then with other bills, whether it's, you know, with Dreamers and things like that, we knew what it should have been. It shouldn't have been. We could have just given these people the citizenship that they deserve, but we're doing it incrementally. And I think that's why every group has seen incremental change, but they all know what the solutions are. So it's always like, why are we waiting for these fucking old ass white people to figure it out? Because we're the ones that are living it, and we already know what the solution is. Mm-hmm. So if your record is like not prosecuting cops when they kill people, I'm going to be like, yo, see, no. That's the mentality, you see, that that allows this to go on.
Yeah.
So I need somebody who said, I was ran out on a rail as DA because I prosecuted too many cops in my first term. I'm like, whoa, yep. Okay.
Voting for
there
him.
There you go. I like that because you already knew what it was. You said, oh, yeah, I'm here to protect people. Oh, what are they doing? Oh, they're there to not piss off the policeman's union and then stop the flow of contributions and independent expenditures that help them. No, come on now. Come on.
Let's talk about like specifically what the reforms are that people should be looking for, because you know, I've heard things like defund the police, and immediately been like, well, do we, so there's no police anymore? Like, what is right. the, we're, yeah, we're all just, fine, I'll go
Robin
get,
Hood.
I'll arm myself.
Only superheroes. Only the Hollywood Boulevard superheroes. the Hollywood Boulevard Avengers.
But the more you read about that, the more you read about that, the more it's like, oh, that is actually like a no-brainer like change that we should all be pushing for.
Right.
And it's just, but it's probably something that a lot of people think sounds too extreme for them. So I do think that that's something that's probably worth kind of digging into today right. and in the coming days. So
I think at this point we can all agree that the police are merely just an overfunded gang that exists to harass poor people
yep.
and, you know, kick people off private property. That's really, yep. and then do some, solve a couple crimes here and there. I think a lot of people have seen the evidence of how the police interact with the public. And at the very least, they go, that relationship seems a bit off. That relationship is not right. Okay, so then let's take that point, right? That the relationship is off. Now, we have to keep going further back and say, well, that's because the relationship of the way the police, the law enforcement is created now and the system of policing we have now is only meant to perpetuate that kind of relationship of hostility. It's not to protect mm-hmm. and serve. That's just written on the cars. What you've seen is people just get bodied by Jake or beaten with batons or whatever. For what? Okay? So I think a lot of people are like, this is a lot. Do they need all this? Like, what's going on? So we have to talk about, like, what is actually going to really change these things. And we talk about the big white supremacy is the always the big picture issue here. That's what policing is. But we can, let's, that's a huge bite to take out. So let's try and make it about what actually, what are tangible things, right? So what are tangible things that'll help when we're talking about reforming police funding or whatever is, like, we should support things like this. Anything that offers reparations to victims of police violence and their families. That's the first thing. Create, like, financial vulnerability and accountability for these places, because right now it isn't. There are also, like, support proposals that talk about requiring police officers to have their own liability insurance. So they got to come out of pocket if they brutalize somebody or kill them, that they're covered. Okay, so if it's not the city, if it's not the city, then make it you. Because guess what? This is a serious job. And these are all from activist Maryam Kaba, who's from Prison Culture, who, you know, writes a lot and is an advocate for prison reform. These are all things that we can be doing from her writing, and that's in the footnotes. The other things that can be done, okay? Proposals and legislation to, like, redirect all of our funds from the police department and the prison system to social goods, right? Because if yep. people aren't supported in their communities, they become desperate. And that's why when people go, I don't understand why they have to be in a gang, because there's no opportunity, there's no support. Or why are people violent? Maybe you need actual assistance with your mental health, but you're left to be on the street and you're fending for yourself in a really awful environment. That's why. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, if those are there, typically the police don't have to show up as first responders because we have social workers there.
I feel like it has a lot in common with the military-industrial complex, where so many people are making money off of, like, things being bad and relationships being bad between countries, and so they get to keep funding the military so that they can, like, feed on the fear, and it just, like, kind of feeds back on itself. I feel like the same thing is happening here.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah, the cops have to be justified in being like, well, they're evil out there.
Right.
They're evil out there.
That and the cops are just, they are the ones who get everything. I don't know if it's right. kind of like, you know, when House is like, it's not lupus is a catch-all. And that's how the cop, I got lupus. But the cops are kind of a catch-all. Like, the funding for to help with homelessness, half of that was just for cop sweeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they exactly. anything that goes wrong is like the cops are responsible to take care of that, but at the same time they're not getting training. I used right. to work as a transcriptionist for the Health and Human Services Commission in Texas, and like with my own black fingers I would type like, yeah, cops don't know how to deal with mental health problems. Cops are not being trained to deal with mental health problems. Cops are fucking up mental health issues. Cops are fucking up like those what do they call them? Wellness checks.
Mhm. Oh. Yeah, no.
Don't ever do that.
A lot of people with mental issues are getting suicided by cop because the cop is not trained to
deal with someone in that kind of state.
To de-escalate. They're not trained to de-escalate a problem.
Well, and I think that's the other important thing, because that's why we're always saying the problem actually is the modern policing, modern law enforcement. That is the problem. We have not seen one thing. Yes, you have videos. Whoa, that white officer can break dance at the cookout. Whoa.
Okay.
That's propaganda. That's copaganda. That's that complete. Because I can show you 50 videos of them beating the shit out of black people. And if you look at just sort of how these hours break down of what it means comparatively, right? In like North Carolina, you need 620 hours to be a police officer with where you have a gun, right? And you can take somebody's life. To be a licensed barber in North Carolina, you need 1,528 hours of training. The disparity in training is another huge issue. Like in California, it's like something like 660 hours. A cosmetologist, they need 1,600 hours. So already, like, look at how we're sending these people out. It's just made so they can crank out a bunch of uniforms and justify increasing budgets, saying we need more cops, we need more things. Crime's going down. So now it's like, okay, well, what can we do? Let's harass poor people because the state isn't taking care of them, so we can criminalize them being destitute. And that's another way to say, hey, we need more cops, we need more training, we need more sweeps, we need more this other stuff. So these are sort of things to keep in mind. Now, I think when the reforms that you also see people propose, like in LA, when Garcetti's like, hey, we found like 5% of that budget to take out. Okay, nice try. That's not even close to what we're talking about. But if you see proposals that are saying like they want more money to the police, you want to be against that. Okay,
right.
Let's get that right. Okay, are
more
they
money for body cameras?
Yeah.
More money for, yeah.
If it's for technology, you should oppose that. Because like you're saying, those body cams, they're not turning them on. So they're right. Just expensive pieces of shit that hang off their chests. What probably is happening is they will use other shit like facial recognition technology that's already, we've talked about how biased algorithms are, especially with faces of like African-Americans in this country. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. So if it's about more money for technology, get it the fuck out of here. If they're asking for like more police money so they can have more kinds of policing, oppose that shit. So any other reforms that are just sort of like, you know, are we going to have like, let's have dialogue. No, we're past it. And I think right now we're seeing this new thing, 8 Can't Wait, from the Campaign Zero, which I think, I'm not saying what they're proposing is bad. I think it's really interesting. They're using data to try and determine really small steps that can actually create a huge, what they believe is a huge impact on the amount of police brutality. So the 8 things are: require officers to de-escalate situations, require officers to intervene, require officers to give a verbal warning before using force. Okay. Restrict or prohibit chokeholds and strangleholds. Prohibit officers from shooting at moving vehicles. Require officers to exhaust all other options. Use a continuum of force. Require comprehensive reporting. See, now this sounds great, but in my mind, I'm like, they're not doing this already?
Right.
So then this is out the window.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we talking
about? Require them to do the obvious right thing. Like, and it just seems like in the wrong hands, they will find a way around it. Like in any company, in any organization, like there's ways to get around like the metrics or to juice the metrics in one direction. Like back at Cracked, there was a thing where like our parent company wanted a lot of page views. So we like started splitting articles up over different pages. And it's just like, it was a bullshit thing that we did just to like hit that one metric that they wanted us to hit. It didn't do anything. It didn't add any value for the consumer. It didn't add like it was
those
just
KPIs
some
though,
shit.
Baby.
Yeah. And like this is just putting metrics in place in a system that is not being reformed in a meaningful way. Like the data transparency on stops, arrests, budgeting, weapons, like that's the sort of like hard. And it needs to be coming from outside of the police force. It can't just be, we want you guys to try to make these changes, require officers to intervene. Like what practically would that look like? Like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Stop your frat brothers from doing keg stands, bros.
Yeah, it does sound like that. It sounds like some shit that you would like hear in a not serious organization.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this should already be happening. That's what I'm saying. We're past, you know, this should have been things that I think would have been great in the 60s, but we're in 2020 now. So you've made your point. You shouldn't exist anymore as an entity that enforces the law. That's been very clear, at least this form of law enforcement. And these kinds of reforms that people propose are bad because it allows for this bad apple theory to continue. Because you're like, you're seeing, because this, we're taking care of the bad apples with this.
Right.
Because see, the bad apples, like the good ones don't need to be told this, but I guess we got to tell the bad apples, you got to warn them, you don't do these chokeholds because of the bad apples. And that completely takes the emphasis off the fact that this policing system is oppressive, violent, and the only thing there here is a mechanism to control like weak people. That's all it is. Because look what happens. We saw what, and I'll say it every time. You saw white people with full up tat gear and assault rifles at the state capitol, and everyone's like, "Hey, all right, guys, kumbaya, just chill out." People are out in the streets. Poor people too are asking for their equality, and it's like, send them in, baby, because you know what the this is, because that thing needs to the next thing, and next thing you know, they're gonna turn my mega $1 billion apartment complex into affordable housing. That ain't happening.
And then on top of that, like all of these ways to reduce police brutality, this is all honor system stuff. Because are you going to tell me that an officer is going to be like, oh, yeah, I didn't give a verbal warning? They're going to be like, I gave a verbal warning and then they threw a thing of cocaine at me. And so I had to shoot them. Like, like all of this requires us to believe that the cops are doing this and they're not doing this. And this is just common sense stuff. So, like, of course they're going to lie about this.
Yeah. It's just,
I mean, that,
just disingenuous. I mean, not that it's disingenuous, but I feel like that this is the mindset, right? Where people say, and I get it, like, this is good. I don't think this is evil to propose this, but I think it's a mindset that we have to begin to abandon, which is like, well, not too much all at once. But the problem is, we're on fire right now. So don't just put my foot out, extinguish my whole fucking body. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why are we doing that? You know I'm on fire. You saw the threat. So what's the point of doing this incrementally? What is the point? If you're really about this and you're saying this is awful and I want to, you know, erase the evidence of police brutality, then you have to get to the cause of it. The police.
Yeah. I mean, we have the Washington Post writing articles about how this is America's French Revolution. Like, we have, you know, this is not the time to ask for incremental, like, surface level cover up changes. Like, this is the time to get systematic, deep changes that won't allow the police to continue to be a tool to enforce white supremacy and, you know, classism. Yeah.
And they say, oh, what should we do? Say, listen to black people. What are you saying? Defund the police, get rid of the police.
Right.
Do it. You said, you asked what you could do, telling you, listen, that's what we're saying. So what's the, but we're not saying, oh, less chokes, please. Fuck out of here, man. It's like,
you know,
so
if you
stupid.
Could give me a verbal before you hit me.
Yeah.
That would be. Just go ahead and give me an audible before I get my ass kicked.
So then let's just get on the same page. And again, I think the first thing, everyone's reaction would be like, no police, then it's anarchy. No, we're not saying there's no mechanisms to protect people. That's no, what we're saying is we actually want that. We want people who will protect people, not people who squat up in their cars and patrol the streets and be like, what are you doing over there? Why are you sleeping over there? What is this going on? What are you kids doing over here? Why are you smoking over in this neighborhood? Why are you in this car? Who's this kid? Oh, you got one white kid with you? Okay.
Right.
You know, but that's how the police think right now. Like, we need people to drive around and be like, whoa, hey, sir, are you okay? Do you need shoes? Hey, come here. You need something? Yes, I'm the police, but I'm also here to help people. Oh my God, sir, it seems like you're having some kind of episode, sir. Do you have medication that you take? Okay, please sit down. Please put that bottle down, sir. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I won't come near you, but please just, I will stand here. You can hold that bottle there, but I want to call some people because I want to make sure you're safe. Is that okay? Can I call somebody? Great. Like, that's how the interaction should be. It should always be like, are you okay? Yes. Now, what the fuck are you doing?
That seems so obvious, but so far from where we are.
Right. But that's the thing. Yeah.
that is the that's the image of police that we're all taught as kids. Yeah. That's the
doing?
Image of police that everyone always gets is the guy that's here to be nice, to be sweet, and that's just not what's out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you get that in your neighborhood watch meetings where you have like that one officer who lets the kids sit in the squad car and they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, like I see that same cop when I'm 16 and like they're fucking with me. But luckily, I'm with some white kids smoking weed in the car and it was fine. But I was like, oh, my God, that's fucking you are my community. Wow. And you're out here acting like a fucking dick, dude. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. All right, we just want protection and service.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back to wrap things up.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And really briefly, Mattis said Trump is a danger to the Constitution. The mainstream media seems to be of the opinion that this is what we needed. This is going to be the thing that takes him down. Laura Ingraham criticizing him here and there. What's his name? Tucker Carlson criticizing him while still upholding white supremacy. Those are the things that are going to really take it to him, and, you know, I'll buy it when he's out of office without bloodshed. I don't know. I don't see it happening.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, this is all those like really defeated senators, like
it's encouraging.
They know, well, not that it's to me, it's encouraging that their brand could get so fucked up that maybe like there's a chance that a lot of people would just be like, dude, I'm not voting for these Republicans. What the fuck was that? I mean, that's in a dream world, but on some level, we always talk about this. I'm like, when are they going to realize the brand is fully fucked?
Yeah. Like,
they're going to just ride this one out. Cause my God, like I said, punch your ticket to the right side of history. They're going to, what the fuck are y'all doing? But like we said, white supremacy is a death cult.
Yeah.
So if you're not willing to unshackle yourself from it, then yeah, I guess you will be like, yeah. Like they all look like, I guess, either they saw how ugly their lack of courage was, or they were like, I guess I'm going to die. Huh? Guess I'm going down with the ship. Fuck it.
I mean, there's a lot of really hard to deny things about like his photo op after, you know, destroying a bunch of peaceful protests with tear gas. That's a tough one. Tough look to be on the same side as that. But there's just too many things working in his favor. I mean, there's white supremacy is like the death cult that this country was founded on. Trump has like a literal death cult. That he is the messiah of, called QAnon. He's the boss of our country in a country that fetishizes bosses. And, you know, all the people trying to take him down and criticizing him are either bureaucrats or former bureaucrats in a country that, you know, despises bureaucrats in a bone deep, the EPA is the villain in Ghostbusters way. Like bureaucrats are who we're taught to hate, and that's not gonna bring an end to this.
Right.
Like there's, by all means, let's keep amplifying that. I'm not saying that's not what Mattis should be doing. I just don't think we can rest on that the way we've in the no. past made the mistake of resting on Mueller or, you know, whoever the next great technocrat savior is. Miles, do we want to do any rewatches over the weekend? Give people something that...
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. I'm gonna need some kind of eye bleach.
Eye bleach?
Yeah.
All right, let me read through what is the top 10 on Netflix.
Okay.
We got Space Force at number one.
I'll watch that.
Okay, Space Force. Fuller House at number three.
I'll watch that too.
Sweet Magnolias at four.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that also.
Uh-huh.
Love Sweet Magnolias.
Avatar. Now this one's interesting. The Help is the number six trending piece of content on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna watch that from the perspective of like a study in what we've been talking about over the past couple days of like how white supremacy manifests itself in white people's minds. Because
who wrote The Help, though?
I don't know who wrote it. I know who directed it.
Catherine Stockett. Yep. Grew up in Jackson, Mississippi.
And Clueless, The Healer, Uncut Gems, and Riverdale are also trending. But I think... So you're going to do Space Force?
Space Force, Fuller House, Uncut Gems...
Well, you're giving Sweet our Magnolia. Audience a lot of homework that they have to do.
No, Space Force, I think, I want to see Tawny in there, and I also want to see what, like, the kind of minds of the office are doing now in this context.
Yeah. Well, I'll do The Help. We won't do quite as deep a dive as we've done in the past, because there's going to be too much to talk about other than The Help. But we'll dig into it for 5 minutes.
White Guilt could only get to number six on the Netflix charts. Come on, y'all.
Did they just release it, or is it just that much? That's wild, because like right underneath it, like in my watch it again, it's 13th, but that's not on there.
I think a lot of people, I mean, I would say to anybody, if you haven't seen the 13th on Netflix, you should absolutely watch that. Look, all of this historical action we're taking is about really confronting all these things. And I think I'm just going to get into this other piece I was going to try and talk about. But when I look on like right-wing Twitter and I look at a lot of comments of like conservatives sort of defending like why they don't need to change right now, the common themes I keep seeing are, I don't have to feel bad for these people because I didn't personally own slaves. I think that's one of the prevailing things I see. I also see these people want to live like that, and they just want to mooch off the system. And then the other thing, then they bolster that by saying, I know this because I seen it with my own eyes, or I work with these people. And these are fantastic arguments as to why you shouldn't examine your own behavior. Absolutely. Right. A grade reasons to be like, man, I'm not going to do any kind of close self-examination after that. But I think the real burden for these people is to avoid having to realize that what they think is wrong and may have actually been wrong this whole time. All of these are self-preservation mechanisms, because if you say, wait, I have to feel bad for these people even though I didn't own slaves? Wait. These people don't want to live like that, and they don't want to mooch off the system, but that's what my dad told me, and my dad was a good guy, I think. I'm not racist, normally, like, but that's what I was told. So if I'm, so then the mental path goes, so if I'm wrong about this race stuff, what, does that mean I'm evil? And then, because that's the logical thing, and then, boom, self-preservation has to kick in and says, of course I'm not evil. Fuck what these people are talking about. Because if what they say is true, that means I'm bad. And I'm not bad. You know? And that's not, and I think that's the thing that people need to begin reframing to others when they're trying to communicate and saying, take it, like, it's okay that you, I mean, it's not okay that you thought that. But the if we're going to do something, you have to realize that those thoughts don't serve you and they don't reflect reality. And in fact, they're holding you back and they're holding other people back. Yep. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And that's just how our minds work. We always have to find a way to preserve our egos and make sure that we're, like, you know, not doing a bad thing. But then if that sense of self is threatened, then we just start doubling down on that bad behavior, because the other option is real introspection. So I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to double down to the point that I will just kill my fellow human being who's innocent, because I've doubled down on this thinking so much. Every time someone tells me it's not right, I'm going to double down on that now. And I'm going to tell you it's actually everything I think is right. And it's a hard place to dig yourself out of, but we're not after people's guilt. So when people are like, well, I don't have to feel bad for these people. I'm not, look, fucking, we've experienced what people feeling bad does. It only leads to, like, lame diversity hires and sort of like small pittances into, like, these diversity funds or whatever. Like, it's not the guilt. It's about changing your heart and your mind. That is what the real, that's where the juice is in all of this. Preach. And that's, again, you want to be able to say, good for you, if you look back and go, fuck, bro, yikes. Yep. I was thinking that shit. Yikes. Woo. I'm glad I can say yikes to that. Holy shit, I'm me 3.0, 4.0. Allow yourself to make a mistake. It's not that you're evil, because you have to understand, like, all of this shit has been mainlined into our brains through the media and everything. It's amazing. Like, if you're, you know, reasonable enough to believe that, like, the depictions of, you know, violence in film or something, or, like, how men are supposed to behave in film can contribute to fucking skewed ideas of masculinity, then you should damn well be able to hop on the train that white supremacy can also infiltrate your mind in very subtle ways too. Cause you might be like, oh shit, I didn't think I looked at my body because of that movie or whatever, or this person or this poster. You don't think white supremacy is entering your mind in the same way? So take the time to just fucking deconstruct that shit. But just take the time. All you gotta do is be aware. We're not after the guilt. We're after the awareness. So then you can fucking... White supremacy ends when people actually be like, I know what it is and I don't like it. Not just like, I know it exists. Oh, yeah. I'm experiencing it. I'm just awareness.
See, everybody's too afraid of being wrong is the thing. I don't want to have to admit I was wrong. I don't want to have to admit that I have a leg up. I don't want to have to admit that there are people who don't get the same opportunity. So there's a little bit of an asterisk on some of my achievements. People don't want to say, like, my past was, but it's like, how many people are ashamed at shitting in a diaper at one point in your life? Mm. We used to do that before you knew any better. Now you know better. Now you do better, hopefully. Yeah. But, like, it's so mind-boggling how people tie their whole sense of self into, I was wrong at this one time. And it's so much easier for them to just justify their actions, even, like, retroactively justify, which is hella embarrassing for them to, like, go ahead and make excuses for something when you could easily do what I said and apologize and move on from it.
Right. I used to have a red Yankees fitted hat like Fred Durst, okay? But I've come back, all right? And I'm not afraid to admit that. In fact, I'm proud that I saw the light and drank the hot dog flavored water and ate the chocolate starfish. But like,
but that's inspiring. That's inspiring because you could be up here right now in a puka shell necklace and you're not doing that. You've moved on.
Right, exactly. You look at that and be like, whoa. But I think the thing is, people should have a soft touch because I see people screaming at each other about it. And a lot of people, I'm telling you, you can open someone's mind a lot easier if you are so calm. It's so off-putting.
Yeah.
Because they're used to being like, you're wrong. That just, if you come at somebody aggressive, they have to be defensive. That's just how it is. That's just how we work. You know, you have your fist cocked, I'm going to put my dukes up and we're scrapping. But if you come up with your hands to your side, you're like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, man, so I want to talk to you about this stuff that's going on with this white supremacy thing. Like, I just want, you know, I'm just trying to be aware of it. It's really interesting how I've realized how things have informed how that's happened to me. And I'm just hoping that you can also do that. And they go, I don't care. Those people are wrong. Just leave that.
Yeah.
And come back again and just do it like that. Because eventually it'll be so weird where they're like, damn, like they're always so calm talking to you like that. And I'm always out here screaming. It's like, why am I screaming?
Mm-hmm.
But again, that also takes self-awareness, but soft touch also works.
Maggie, it's been so wonderful having you. Where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Well, you can find me on pretty much all the socials at Maggie May Haha. May is spelled M-A-Y-E. So M-A-G-G-I-E, M-A-Y-E, and Haha. A tweet that I loved this week came from Solomon Giorgio, which...
He's been so great.
Everything he tweets is just a work of art. Like, I love how his brain works. But he tweeted, imagine living in a country that took months to respond to a pandemic and seconds to militarize the police against its citizens.
Imagine. That'd be wild.
Wait, that's now. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right, Solomon. He can't miss.
Miles, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me, follow me, Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray, and on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, where we talk about 90 Day Fiancé getting super lifted. A few tweets I like. First one's from Wendy Molyneux, at Wendy Molyneux. It says, congrats to Harvey Weinstein for having his op-ed piece, quote, on the other hand, look at those titties, accepted by the New York Times.
Oh,
oh shit. Yeah. Another one is from Reductress. It has like a very concerned wine mom with a hoodie on, like fleece hoodie looking face, and says, five things protesters can do to make me, the white lady watching at home, more comfortable. because I think that's kind of... that is such a real sentiment right now.
Oh, yeah.
People are just like, oh, I'm just so put off by it now. I don't like human rights.
Right. What is enough is enough. I mean, we get it.
We get it. We're not going to do anything about it.
Right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Jesus Nice tweeted... something that I actually didn't know. I had always heard that Old Dirty Bastard got into a gunfight with the NYPD. I didn't realize that he just got shot at by 8 cops. And all he had was a cell phone. So that's, I guess, a piece of white supremacy propaganda that got into my head.
That's wild. I really thought, the anecdotal thing you heard was like, yeah, you're gonna gunfight with cops. He was just,
yeah,
wow, the shit you still learn in your fucking 35 learning about this shit now.
Tall Paul tweeted, why are people scared of riots and looting? The flu kills way more people every year. Yeah, that's plenty. Oh, and Jordan Peele tweeted, oh, does this mean we're going to get to hear from all the quarterbacks? because... Oh, and holy Colleen shit. Tweeted, Tom Cotton is as close to having a senator named Jim Crow as reality would allow.
Right.
Jesus. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what is that going to be today?
Hold on, let me shut my dog up.
Rimby! A lot of the young members of our household coming in and messing with the recording today.
All right, let's go out on a track from Alice Coltrane, the wife of John Coltrane. But not only that, she's actually an accomplished pianist, organist, harpist, vocalist in her own right. A lot of people don't realize she's amazing. Also, Flying Lotus's aunt. Okay, so there's like some little connective tissue to now. This is a track from her that has like just such, I don't know, like I need Dreamworld vibes right now. And her harp mixed with like the jazz player she's playing is fantastic. This is called Journey in Sachidananda. This is Alice Coltrane.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.